ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10th चैप्टर 13 ब्रह्मा स्टीलिंग द बॉयज एंड काउज टेक्स 63। उत्थाय कृष्णस्य चिरस्य पादयोपतन आस्ते महित्वं प्राग्दृष्टं स्मृत्वा पुनः पुनः उत्थायोत्थाय कृष्णस्य चिरस्य पादयोपतन आस्ते महित्वं प्राग्दृष्टं स्मृत्वा पुनः पुनः उत्थायोत्थाय कृष्णस्य चिरस्य पादयोपतन आस्ते महित्वं प्राग्दृष्टं स्मृत्वा पुनः पुनः word by word meaning उत्थाय राइजिंग रिपीटेडली कृष्णस्य ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्ण चिरस्य फॉर अ लॉन्ग टाइम पादयो एट द लोटस फीट पतन फॉलिंग डाउन आस्ते Remain, Mahitvam, the greatness, Pragdrushtam, which he had previously seen, Smritva, remembering, puna puna, again and again. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: rising and falling again and again at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna for a long time, Lord Brahma remembered over and over the Lord's greatness he had just seen. Purport: as stated in one prayer, Shrutim apare smrutim itare, Bhartam anne bhajantu bhava bhita, Aham iha nandam vande, Yasya linde param brahma. Let others study the Vedas, Smriti and Mahabharata, fearing material existence, but I shall worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard is crawling the Supreme Brahman. Nanda Maharaj is so great that the Parabrahman is crawling in his yard, and therefore I shall worship him. Padyavali 1:26. Brahma was falling down in ecstasy. Because of the presence of the Supreme Personality Godhead, who exactly resembled a human child, Brahma was naturally astonished. Therefore, with a faltering voice, he offered prayers, understanding that here was the Supreme Person. Maybe you can come closer, actually, scattered. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे Hare Krishna. So in this verse, we can see that Brahma, who has realized his mistake, is feeling great remorse in his heart, great feeling of repentance. So he is now rising and falling again and again at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. It's not only once, but again and again, puna puna. He didn't think that maybe once I have 4 obeisances, it is sufficient. But again and again, he is falling at the feet of Lord Krishna. So he realizes mistake. And he wanted to atone for that. He wanted to take the attention of, draw the attention of Lord Krishna. So he is taking this humble position. And he is remembering again and again what was the greatness of Lord. Smrutva, smrutva, puna, puna. He is remembering the greatness what Lord Krishna had exhibited just some time before. So, what Brahma was trying to do, we have heard so many times that he wanted to steal. He could steal also. He was successful in stealing Krishna's cowherd boys and cows. And that is also for a fraction of a second. Sometimes our devotees say that for a moment, but it is actually truti, very very small duration of time. And within that small fraction of time also, we can see that here on the earthly planet, 1 year had passed. So Brahma's time zone was different. He was on a different time scale, on the Satyaloka, Brahmaloka. That dimension was different. And on the earth, there is a different time scale. So even on this earthly plan, I mean in this mortal world, we can see that there are different time scales. And it is also said that time is relative in this mortal world. What is 1 year when the 12 months pass, we say that it is 1 year has passed. The earth revolves around for a certain one rotation, revolution, and that is considered to be 1 year. But that is on the earthly planet. Srila Prabhupada had earlier given example of satellite. Sometimes scientists, they set up some satellite in the sky and it revolves around the earth within some 1 hour, 24 minutes, something Prabhupada says. So that is one rotation. So one revolution around the earth for that satellite is a different time scale in a 1 day. So Brahma's point of view, it was just a small fraction of a second. And it is also said that Brahma lives for his 100 years. So for him it is, his 100 years are like how we feel our 100 years. So for him it is the similar, time is almost the similar way it is passing as it is passing for us. But because he is situated on a different time scale, on a different planet, that is measured in a different way. Just like another example Srila Prabhupada gives, that sometimes small insects in the evening, they take birth, and by the time morning, their life is over. So their full life is just few hours, or not more than that, not even more than a day. But within that time span, they have their all activities happening. They take birth, they grow, they procreate, and they die ultimately. And within this one moment, what Brahma experienced when he came back, it was when he was observing these pastimes of Lord Krishna on earth. In Golok, it is a Vrindavan actually. It means it's again a different time dimension. So when he was observing, he was on a different level in one sense. But because it was enacted in the material world, it was 1 year had passed. But within that, how he was bewildered and how he was illusioned. That is very, very interesting to know. And in fact, the bewilderment started when he desired to steal. That time only the bewilderment started. Because nobody can steal anything from Krishna. But as soon as he desired, that was the only time that the bewilderment started. And Krishna allowed that he could steal that, and but with that was that the whole episode was like a big nightmare for him in one sense, because he was so much bewildered when Krishna he realized his plan. Krishna immediately expanded himself with so many of his friends and cows, and Brahma was afterwards he realized, Krishna gave him that intelligence that he is committing a mistake. Because he could not understand from his own intelligence, own speculative methods, he could not understand what is happening. And he had taken Krishna for granted. And he was a little bit curious. Sometimes children are playing. They are all small activities they are doing. And sometimes elderly people, they become little curious. They also want to get involved into childhood activities, pastimes. They also play with them sometimes. But the rasa is different, because children's reciprocate in a different way. They are quite innocent way they are doing things. But when somebody, elderly person suddenly enters there, it's like a complete rasabhas, completely different situation, right? They can't reciprocate immediately with the elderly person. And similar situation Brahma was trying to enter into this childhood pastimes. Well, he also was thinking that I will see the fun. How Krishna, when his friends are stealing the tiffin box or some fruits here or there, and how Krishna makes faces, he is so innocently sometimes gets scared. So he was somewhat feeling like that maybe I will see Krishna in this mood. But Krishna completely baffled his plan. And in fact, Krishna could see the fun. Krishna was observing how Brahma was in fact falling again and again. Here it is explained. So that is the situation. And in fact, the living entity in the original state, in the original position, was in the spiritual world. And that living entity desired for a moment, just for some time, let me be like Krishna. Let me take his position. So, as soon as a living entity desires in this way, he is thrown in this mortal world. And he is covered with a particular type of Krishna's bewildering energy. It is explained that Prakshekpa Meka Shakti, Krishna's one kind of energy, it throws this living entity into the material world. And Avarnatmika Shakti, the second energy which covers the living entity. So, as soon as the living entity desired to become like Krishna, or to imitate like Krishna, what Krishna does in the spiritual world, he is covered and is thrown into this material world, where he also gets similar form, like Lord Krishna, two hands, two legs, and he tries to be the controller in this material world, or tries to be the enjoyer in this material world. And it is going on. This bewilderment is going on for the conditioned living entities. And it goes on eternally in one sense, nitya baddha. The living entity in the material world cannot be happy because there is no real happiness in this material world. This is whatever happiness one gets is the temporary. For some time one will get happiness and again struggle for existence. And this happiness of this material world is on the external level, on the bodily level, material platform. So therefore, that is temporary. Everything is in the material world is temporary. So therefore, the happiness is also temporary. But we are not these material bodies. We are spirit souls, which is eternal, Satchidananda. So therefore, this soul, as long as it tries to find happiness on the material platform, it cannot be happy. When the soul finds happiness on the spiritual platform, when it comes in contact with spiritual activities, and again tries to come back to Krishna's abode, then only he'll be happy. So therefore, the living entity in the material world is called as Nitya Baddha. As long as he is on the mortal platform, he is conditioned. But when that living entity perfects its process of devotional service and goes back home, back to Godhead, then he'll be eternally happy. And it is explained that the fall in this mortal world, the living entity has fallen in this mortal world, that is like for a fraction of a second. We have just fallen in this mortal world for some time. It is, if you compare with eternity, even millions of years is nothing, right? If you compare anything with any big number with eternity, infinity, it is insignificant. So therefore, when this Nityabaddha living entity, it goes back again in the spiritual world, then he becomes Nityamukta, eternally liberated. So from that point of view, the existence in this mortal world is just for a fraction of a second. We are here in this mortal world for just for a very limited amount of time. But when this bewilderment will be over, when we surrender to the Lord, when we realize our original sin. Some other religions, they say that it was the original sin that a living entity has committed. Therefore, that person, that living entity has been sent into this mortal world. So, therefore, sometimes Krishna himself come personally to take certain souls back home, back to Godhead. Or sometimes he sends his representatives, those who are Nitya Siddha living entities, those who come in this mortal world, those who appear to be behaving like ordinary living entities, appearing to get the reactions of their karma, but they are Nitya Siddha. They are representatives of the Supreme Lord. And they come to give the message to the conditioned soul that please come back. That is the real home. This is not the real home in this mortal world. So that's the process of going back. When somebody realizes that I have committed a mistake, I do not want to again suffer in this mortal world, then only Krishna will send spiritual master. And if somebody is fortunate to realize the importance of spiritual master, then one has to serve the spiritual master. And just by serving spiritual master, his instructions, one will be able to realize his own position after purification. So the conditioned living entity in this mortal world, we see that people commit mistakes, lot of sins they do, and sometimes they are caught also, but they don't want to admit. They don't want to admit that they have committed sin. They want to escape even. They want to hide. So that is a big problem actually. And therefore we can see that in Kali Yuga we can see that so many people are, why they are suffering. Because first of all they don't know the process of purification? What is the method by which we should not we should come out of this suffering? We have to go back in the spiritual world. That is the original position. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, he explains to Parikshit Maharaj that the result of committing sins. He explained that there are so many hellish planets. One is sent. When somebody commits a particular sinful activity, then is sent into a particular hellish planet. And there, tremendous suffering. And one has to undergo all that suffering. And again, when that is over, then again he's sent back where he can again perform his normal activities. So after hearing all that description, Parikshit Maharaj, he tells that what is a solution for getting free from this suffering. So he told that one has to do atonement, prayaschit. And for every sinful activity there is a prayaschit. Therefore there are all processes are there, karmakanda, and so many, like you do some rituals and you maybe unknowingly have done some sinful activity. You are walking on the street, or so many insects we are killing unknowingly. We are getting entangled into karma, and which is extending our stay in this mortal world. So we are getting too much implicated in this mortal world. So therefore there are processes by which one can purify. Tapasya brahmacharyana shamena dhammanicha, like that, lot of austerities one has to perform, and then one will become purified. So after hearing that, Parikshit Maharaj, he is very very inquisitive, he is very attentively hearing. He asks that, he tells that kvachit nivartate abhatrat kvachit charti tatpuna prayashrittam athopartam manne konjara shauchavat. He tells that sometimes people feel they have committed sinful activity and they want to atone for that, they do some purification. But again after some time, again that same conditioning comes out, and again sinful activity, and again purification. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying that this is like kunjara shauchava. This is like the bath of an elephant. Elephant, if you have seen, at least I have heard, I have not seen, but whatever has been heard or written, I'm just repeating, that elephant goes in the lake or river and very nicely splashes water all over his body. Sporting activity, he gets purified. And when he comes out, as soon as he sees dust, refined dust, again his conditioning comes out. He puts that dust, takes his that dust and again throws all over his body. So what is the use of that kind of bath? He is become fresh, clean, but again taking dirt and throwing all over his body. So there is no use. Again. So committing sinful activities, atoning, again committing sinful activities, again atoning. This is like a kunjara shauchavat. This is like an elephant's bath. Parikshit Maharaj is saying. So, Shukadeva Goswami, he appreciates that definitely. This is, we are very, very attentively hearing, this is perfect. So then he tells him the real method of becoming purified. Because as long as this desire is there, proclivity of committing sinful activities is there, one cannot be free from this tendency of committing sinful activity. That itself has not gone. Therefore, we can see that sometimes a thief is caught and he is put in the prison. But when he comes out, again he starts stealing. Same activity, again he is put, again he is caught, and again he is put in the prison. So, because he doesn't have higher taste, therefore he will go on again to the back to the his conditioning, his lower states. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami explains that the real method is taking to the process of Krishna consciousness, especially the chanting of the holy name. He explains that. Then he explains the story of Ajamil, that how this Ajamil, he was a wonderful Brahmana, and how he fell down, and again how just by chanting the holy name, how you are saved. So therefore, it is very, very important to understand that the root cause of sin, the desire or the proclivity to commit sinful activities, has to be purified. Then only there is some hope. Otherwise, one will keep committing the same mistake again and again for years and years. One will not become free from that condition. So therefore, Brahma also, when he commits a lot of mistakes, sometimes it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that he gave up his body. So what does that mean, that he gave up his body? If he gives up his body, then he must die. But our Acharya explained that this means that he gave up the mentality of committing that sinful activity. When he realized that he has committed a great sin, so what is the method? How to become free from that is to give up the mentality, completely change the attitude, complete change in his behavior. On a higher side, he is becoming more elevated in the consciousness. Then only one can give up the lower tendencies. And therefore it is very, very important that the process of Krishna consciousness is so deep that if somebody practices more carefully, then even he may be addicted to so many sinful activities in the beginning stages, but because of development of higher taste, one can remain on the higher platforms. And Srila Prabhupada did that magic. He proved that how this process works. when he went to the Western world, he met so many people, those who were addicted to sinful activities, taking drugs and meat eating, intoxication. It's very difficult to give up certain things. But Prabhupada was so kind. He gave them the process of chanting and Krishna Prasad. And just by doing these spiritual activities, they were completely purified. They did not have desire again to go back to that condition, life. So therefore, it is important that how one should rise above. One may have lot of conditionings of this life and maybe of previous lives. So many, because the subtle body also carries all the previous baggage. So all that may be there, stored within our heart. But that all has to get purified. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this process of Cheto Darpana Marjanam. One has to cleanse the mirror of heart. There is a lot of dust accumulated. So one has to take the process, the same process of chanting. In the beginning stage also, one has to chant the holy name. And even in the higher stages also, one is chanting the same Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is not that after making advancement or sannyasis are chanting some different mantra for more higher realizations. They are also chanting the same Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra is the same. But we are not taking up that process more carefully. So therefore, when we chant the holy name, take the shelter, then one can go on the higher levels. He can develop higher consciousness. Otherwise, it is an offense to the holy name to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Sometimes one knows that, okay, I'm committing this sinful activity and I know that by chanting the holy name I can get purified. So it is all right. I commit some sinful activities, again I will chant. But that is not proper. That is one of the nama parat. That to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name, that is also not proper actually. So therefore, when one is chanting the holy name, if one has to go, if one wants to make advancement, then one has to be extremely careful that one doesn't commit these at least 10 nama prat. There are every day we morning we read. And it is also said that it is also an offense to chant inattentively. Main problem comes when we are chanting inattentively. Because we are not attentive to the holy name. Our mind goes here there. So therefore, it is important to chant attentively, because when we chant attentively, we'll definitely go to the higher levels. Will not that desire to commit sinful activity will go away. Otherwise, again and again the same desires will come, keep coming and troubling. That's a struggle. One has to overcome that struggle. Mind will keep troubling. So, therefore, the real process of atonement, Srila Prabhupada explains, is taking the process of Krishna consciousness deeply. When we practice the same process, it is not something different, but the same process, we have to take it more seriously. The same chanting, but how much we really try to improve our chanting, or deity worship, or anything connected with our devotional service, we need to go deeper. And then one will realize that yes, this is the higher consciousness actually. So Brahmaji here, he is repenting, he is in the mood of repentance, and it is not just once, but again and again he is falling at the feet of Lord Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, he is quoting one verse of Padyavali, Rupa Goswami's, that what is the aspiration of a devotee, what devotee desires to follow in the footsteps. So it is explained that let others study the Vedas, Smriti and Mahabharata, fearing material existence, but I shall worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard is crawling the Supreme Brahman. Nanda Maharaj is so great that the Parabrahman is crawling in his yard, and therefore I shall worship him. So here Srila Prabhupada, this is the second last verse of his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And again his mind is going back to Vrindavan. He is so much absorbed in Vrindavan pastimes, that is his original consciousness. So he is quoting Srila Rupa Goswami, that what is the aspiration of a devotee, that he is saying that let others study Vedas. Lot of karma kand and lot of things they want to do. Smritis, Mahabharata, fearing material existence, because they are afraid of this material existence. They want to become free from the suffering of this material world. So therefore people do all these rituals so that they don't want to suffer and all. But I shall worship Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj is so special because in whose courtyard is crawling the Supreme Brahman. We know that when Lord Krishna was brought to Vrindavan, when he was not even one day, the same night he was transferred. That time he was brought to Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Bhavan, and all his childhood pastimes occurred there. He was crawling, he was playing in the mud and playing with the cows, and all these pastimes were happening at that place. So Krishna's childhood pastimes, as we know that we in this month are fully dedicated to Damodar, Krishna's name. Damodar Ashtakam we sing every day morning and evening. So those pastimes of Lord Krishna are so relishable to the devotees that they want to constantly meditate on such wonderful pastimes. And therefore that is the aspiration Rupa Goswami is revealing, that I shall worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard is crawling Supreme Brahman. Parabrahman, Lord Krishna, is performing his pastime, childhood pastime. In other incarnations he comes, kills the demons, and his majestic aspect he reveals. But especially the childhood pastimes, which are very, very attractive.
to all the devotee. He is performing at this place. Therefore, I shall worship him, Nanda Maharaj. So, that is the process Srila Prabhupada is actually revealing, that if we wish to go back home, back to Godhead, then that should be our aspiration, to remember such pastimes, to worship Nanda Maharaj. Because in Golok Vrindavan and Vaikuntha, there is a slight difference. Many times we say go back home, back to Godhead, and sometimes some devotees, they ask that what is the difference, what if I go to Vaikuntha, then means what will happen there, can I go again to Goloka? They want to confirm that my direct ticket to Goloka is confirmed. So one has to prepare. One should be attached to Krishna, completely attached to Krishna. Then only he will be taken to Goloka Vrindavan. Otherwise, he may land up into heavenly planets or some other places where he may appear. It may appear that that is also some opulent place. Or even in Vaikuntha, there are all majestic aspect is there. He will assume a spiritual form, four-handed. And one may think that, oh, this is quite good now. So his train will stop there. But in Goloka, the devotee is completely attached to Krishna. And in Vaikuntha, sometimes he may be attached to the opulences of the spiritual world. So, therefore, if you want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, then we should be completely attached to Krishna. And especially in this month, which is very, very purifying, one should chant his Damodarashtra, pray, offer the lamps, so that we become attached to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anyone has any question or anything, comments? His question is, how can we, we don't have higher taste, right? But we have been told to chant, how to overcome those conditionings, right? The process is there, chanting, at least we know intellectually, right, that this process is not on the material platform. This is a transcendental sound vibration. So we may not have higher taste in the beginning. But still, it is like medicine. If you know that I am diseased, and I have been told, those who have made advancement, Shishi Radha Gopinath ki, those who are made advancement, they are telling that chant the holy name. It's like a medicine. Medicine may appear to be bitter, right? Nobody wants to take medicine when somebody is sick. So, if one wants to get cured, then one has to take medicine. There is no other way. One can't say that I will just sleep. I will become moderate. No, you have to work on. If you want to become, remain healthy also, you have to do something. I mean, maintain yourself properly. Nothing happens automatically in the material world. If you are not going higher, you are going down. You cannot even stay at one place. You think that maybe I have chanted today 32 rounds for tomorrow. Tomorrow I don't have to chant. Okay? No. That's not going to work. Every day. Medicine. Some doctor has told, take one tablet in the morning, afternoon, evening. 3 times a day. You think that 3 tablets I will take in the morning, I don't take in the afternoon. That is not good. So the way it has been given, one should follow that. Then it will work. If we start our own processes of practicing, then it's not going to work. So therefore, at least we do not have hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name. But one must chant attentively. There is no escape for that. You may chant in the morning, afternoon, evening, any time. Any number of rounds you may chant. But should try to chant attentively. Then it will work. Then you have to become internalized. Otherwise it will remain on the superficial level. Everyone knows that he is chanting. But where the mind is going, that is most important. Otherwise we will tell that I am chanting 16 rounds for 16 years. But nothing is happening. No change happening. Same. So therefore, one has to work upon all these conditionings, and one should know that, and especially if you are not able to identify your own anarthas or conditionings, we can take guidance from others that what is my, why I am not making advancement, what are my problems. Then somebody will tell, Prabhu, please, there is some improvement, room for improvement, you can do something. And try to keep yourself busy in the spiritual activities, devotional activities. Then you don't have time for other material activities. Try to balance your life in such a way that you have more time for spiritual activities. At least try to make all things, all activities Krishna conscious. Then you will develop a higher taste automatically. So that's the process actually. It may not work within a day. We may think that I'll chant like Haridas Thakur, but one has to have a lot of patience. Keep observing what is happening. The same thoughts are coming, or it will happen. But again, keep chanting. Don't just run. Some thought comes, don't just run behind the thoughts. But if you have decided I will chant for 2 hours here sitting, at least try to complete that. So that type of tapasya, that's a Kali Yuga, there is a lot of concession actually. You have to just chant. That's the only tapasya. We still find that difficult. Earlier they had to go in the Himalayas and control the breath, and so much the austerity was there. But in Kali Yuga, everything is, so much concession has been given. So therefore, if we realize the importance, then we will give the priority. We realize that this is an important activity, I have to somehow adjust in my daily schedule and give quality time for chanting. Then it will work. Otherwise, running here, walking, talking, japa, or traveling, japa, should not, we should try to avoid such things. We should try to at least give a proper time for chanting. Then you will get proper results. Okay. Anyone else? Anything? So we'll stop here. Granthrashmad Bhagavatam ki, Shishta Prabhupada ki.